Whether you are a pro athlete, an exhausted parent, or you spend all day in an office chair, CBDMD wants to give you the support you need to make it through the day. CBD Freeze and Recover are outstanding duo of topical products and specialized formulas to provide targeted relief where it matters most. And to make it even easier to buy Freeze, Recover, and every other CBDMD product, you can take 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. The hot shooting Celtics get back on track and shoot their way past the Toronto Raptors. I'm going to talk about it all right now on this Friday Locked On Celtics. Millies, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you are doing, wherever you're going, I very much appreciate you taking this show with you. Thank you very much. I am John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I get to say that for the first time. Yeah, I got a new gig. I work for Boston Sports Journal now. It is a subscription site, so go and subscribe to Boston Sports Journal. Use the promo code Corrales and you're going to get a discount. It's basically less than $3 a month. I hope you can spare it. I know not everybody can. I know it doesn't sound like much, but for some people, $3 means more than it means to some others. And no judgment. If you can't, you can't. The podcast stays free. The podcast is untouched. It is separate. It's unrelated to the Boston Sports Journal job. Locked On Celtics goes nowhere. It's still daily Monday through Friday. It's still a free podcast, so I'm not going anywhere here. But if you could, subscribe at Boston Sports Journal. That's where you're going to get all of my written stuff, and I'm excited because I think we're going to do a little bit more in-depth stuff at Boston Sports Journal. So use the promo code Corrales, and you're going to basically be paying about $3 a month when you pay for the annual subscription. I think it's going to be worth it. The Boston Celtics beat the Toronto Raptors on Thursday night, 120-106. Nice win. Get back on track over a team that is starting to make its comeback. They are 12-14. The Celtics are 13-11, so they're very close. But the Celtics came out shooting hot. Hot, baby. It was Semi Ojeleye, who led the Boston Celtics with 24 points, shot 6 of 8 from 3. Celtics also got hot shooting from Peyton Pritchard, also 6 of 8 from 3. Kemba Walker, 5 of 8 from 3. They really just demolished the Raptors from deep, and that's the story. So when I get into this show, the good, the shooting, for sure, and a trivia question that's just going to blow your mind. The bad, I'm going to focus solely on the perimeter defense in the bad. Segment 3, a few other notes. Romeo Langford, Robert Williams, Kemba. You're going to hear from Kemba again because I had to ask him about him around the rim. So that's coming up later on. Let's get the Toronto Raptors perspective. It's always interesting. I really love about sports that two people can watch the same thing and come up with totally different perspectives on this. So let's get the Raptors perspective from our friend, Sean Woodley.
Hey, Sean Woodley here from Locked On Raptors to break down the Raptors 120-106 loss to the Boston Celtics on Thursday night to close out a 6-game road trip and a stretch of 5 games in 7 nights. And that is really the takeaway from this one, is the Raptors were bloody exhausted. They kind of lost their legs in the fourth quarter. They were really in it until like 4 minutes left or so, and they missed a few bunnies, Aaron Baines missing layups, Norman Powell getting layups blocked, and they end up losing. And the other takeaway from this one is that they probably win this game if they have OG Anunoby available. It seemed like he might be available to come back from his injury in this one. He was questionable before the game, ruled out. He's likely back on Sunday. And if they had had OG, I imagine they probably closed this game with a small ball lineup that really gave Boston a lot of problems in last year's postseason with OG playing as the nominal center. Instead, they have to close with Aaron Baines, who has been dreadful this season and continued to be dreadful in the fourth quarter of this one. I'll have more about this game all broken down on Locked On Raptors, so tune in.
So that's an interesting point about Aaron Baines, and if you weren't following the Raptors closely, which, you know, why would you? You're Celtics fans. You're not going to be watching everybody's schedule. The Raptors wrapping up a road trip. This is a problem. And remember, it's not the Toronto Raptors right now. It's the Tampa Bay Raptors. So they are going. They're on the road all year, basically. But closing with Baines and being at the end of the road trip, it does make sense that a little bit of fading at the end, and there were some missed layups. It's funny because all I saw was all the made layups. I feel like they didn't miss any layups. But all of the Raptors talk afterwards was, oh, you missed so many layups. Look, I'll talk about it more in the perimeter defense thing. But interesting, and we love Sean Woodley here on Locked On Celtics. So it is good. And you should subscribe. You should listen to Sean's podcast because it does give you a great perspective on the other side. Let's get into the good here. Semi Ojeleye came out hot. This is the first play of the game, or second play of the game, whatever it was. Jaylen Brown finds Semi Ojeleye, and he finishes with this kind of wild layup. And that kind of set the tone for Semi Ojeleye. And Semi, I thought, just fed off of that and took off. He was active early. He had a couple of threes early. He had a key rebound early that I thought was all part of him getting into rhythm. Sometimes when you're out there on the floor, you get a couple of good looks, and that first layup, you just feel good. When you get that layup and you feel good, especially that kind of crazy layup that he had, you feel good about yourself, and everything else starts to come together. And I put out that tweet, that little thread about Semi following through versus flicking it up, like in the Sacramento game. Go back and watch Semi in the Sacramento game. Look at his shooting form in that Sacramento game. It sucked. Look at his shooting form in this. This game, you could see it. I was watching for it. Good follow through, but it was Shemmy's night for sure. Peyton Pritchard also had great looks, great opportunities, and each combined, each guy hit 6 of 8. So combined, 12 of 16. This is the wild stat. Semi Ojeleye and Peyton Pritchard are the first Celtics teammates ever to make at least 6 three-pointers in the same game. I never, ever, ever would have guessed that that didn't happen before. Like, going back, just thinking back through time, I don't know. How did Paul Pierce and Ray Allen never do that? How did Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker never do that? I mean, before that, I can see. But even then, you had Dana Barros, and there had to be some kind of fluke. Like, when these things happen, there's always some kind of fluky thing. But I guess obviously not. It was confirmed that this is the stat. So right now we're going to remember this. But I feel like in a couple years when people forget, this is going to be like a great bar bet. You're going to bet people a beer over, can you name the two teammates that each hit at least 6 three-pointers in a game? People won't be able to do it. You're going to get yourself some free beers at local Boston bars. An amazing accomplishment. That was great. The three-point shooting in general, continuing the good. 20 of 39. This carried them the whole game. And when I talk about the perimeter defense, this is going to be, you know, I'll get into why the three-point shooting was so important. But in today's NBA, basically, if you are out shooting the other team from three, you're going to have a great chance at winning this game. The Celtics ended up winning this by 14. It was a 7-point game late, and it was threatening to be a 5-point game. And then Daniel Theis blocked an Aaron Baines layup attempt or dunk attempt, and that triggered a 4-minute stretch where there were 4 block shots, 3 by Theis, 1 by Jaylen Brown. That was the difference in this game. And Brad Stevens called those stay in the play blocks, which was you still got beat, but you stayed in the play. So the Celtics got beat. It looked like Toronto was getting to the rim, and they stayed in the play, and they got those block shots. The Celtics were on the verge of blowing this. If you're following me on Twitter, at RedsArmy_John, if you don't, in the whole first half, I was like, the Celtics need to shore up this perimeter defense, and if they don't, if the three-point shooting goes away, they're in trouble. Luckily for the Celtics, the three-point shooting never went away. So, again, 120-106, the Celtics hit 20 of 39 from three. Toronto hit 9 of 28. So, 60 points via the three-pointer from the Celtics. 27 by Toronto. So, a 33-point difference in a 14-point game that was only stretched out at the end after that stretch of block shots. A 33-point difference from the three-point line. That's really where this game was won. You're not going to beat any NBA team if they're shooting 20 of 39 from three. Add Kemba to the list. 5 of 8 from three. So not a lot of chatter about Kemba. Again, I'm going to talk about Kemba in the third segment, but not a lot of chatter about Kemba Walker after he shot 5 of 8. He got to the line 6 times as well. So, but there is more to talk about from him, but very nice to see him hitting those shots. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum were not hitting those shots. Tatum, 5 of 13 on the night. Brown, 3 of 14 on the night. Of all the three-point shooting, Jaylen Brown hit none, 0 of 4. Tatum, 1 of 3, so a combined 1 for 7. But 19 assists. The Celtics had 30 assists. 19 of them belonged to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. So when the shots weren't falling, they did other things offensively. So very nice. And that's why they are the reason why Shemmy and Pritchard and Kemba even, because Kemba got catch and shoots. Kemba wasn't doing it all off the bounce. Kemba got catch and shoots. These guys were the massive reason why. So it's nice when the shots aren't falling that these guys didn't just sit back and do nothing. Quickly, Tristan Thompson, offensive rebound. There was a stretch there early in the game where Tristan Thompson's, I think it was in the second quarter, his offensive rebound was just destroying Toronto. The Celtics had a 12-0 advantage at that point in second chance points. That was just huge. That gave the Celtics life. The story of this whole game is the shooting gave them the lead, and the Celtics did little things to hold off Toronto runs from, you know, different, you know, the offensive rebounding, the block shots, and all of that stuff. So shout out to Tristan Thompson. And finally, the last good thing, Jeff Teague, DNP. Love that, but sadly, that's probably also because it's a back-to-back and Kemba's not going to play on Friday night against the Detroit Pistons, so expect a lot of Jeff Teague. That's bad, but that's a good segue into our bad from this Toronto game, which is the perimeter defense, and I'm going to talk about that next. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football's done. I know people love to bet on football, but the NBA is obviously in the middle of its season. College basketball is going, the NHL. sports around the world, and it's all available on betonline.ag. They even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV, and they have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline also has you covered for all the news, scores, odds, and it's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you head to the website or through your mobile device. Sign up today with that promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever it is, make it good. Whatever it is, half of that is going to be added. That number, half that number, free money added to your account after you sign up. So check it out. BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. You're obviously very focused on the Boston Celtics, but what about the rest of the sports world? That's where Locked On Today comes in. It's a new podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. In fact, I'm going to be on the Friday Locked On Today as well, talking about the Celtics. The thing about Locked On Today is a quick boom, boom, boom. So 2-3 questions about the Celtics, on to the next big sports story. So make sure you check me out on the Friday episode, but subscribe to Locked On Today so you get all of the big sports stories right to your podcast feed right away. Locked On Today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The bad from the Celtics win over the Toronto Raptors. I'm solely focusing on the perimeter defense. It was God awful. It was gross. Now, I asked Brad Stevens about it. I'm actually surprised at the answer that he gave, because I thought this was going to be an opportunity to kind of light into his team a little bit. And he did kind of throw a little shade. So I asked, you know, he made a comment earlier in the availability about, you know, a couple things keep me up at night: the defense and our ball movement. The ball movement was great. The Celtics offense, I thought, was really good. Actually, the offense was really good. I have no qualms about the offense in this one. I thought they really did well. The Raptors, despite their record, they're a good team. They're a tough team to score on. This was a good offensive game, but it was a bad defensive game. And I thought he was going to be a little bit more critical, but he did say they have good players. And it's true. They have good players, and those players are going to get past you on the initial line of defense, especially in 2021. You can't touch anybody on the perimeter. So penetration is going to be an issue from the perimeter. I get that. He said, quote, "They're hard to stop from getting to the rim. I'd say that initially most of those drives happened in early offense when we were buddy running in transition and not back and set. You need all five guys to stop drives against these guys." So that was his critical comment about the Celtics defense. And I loved that phrase, buddy running in transition, because you score and you come back and you're running down the floor with your buddy. Oh, wait, they're really pushing it. And I thought Toronto, and I tweeted this out, they did a phenomenal job in this game pushing the ball after the Celtics hit threes. This was how they stayed in this game. The Celtics hit a three, they turn around, they jog back. Toronto really pushes the issue. The Celtics turn around and say, oh, okay, what's happening here? They're already down here? Well, I didn't realize this. And it would inevitably, especially early on with Kyle Lowry, inevitably turn into a layup opportunity. And that's just horrible. Now, I will give the Celtics an out a little bit. First game home from a long road trip is generally a tough game. You've gone through this gauntlet on the road. You come home, you relax a little bit. It's tough to kind of like, you finally, you're back with your family. You see your loved ones. You're like, oh, so good to see you. Just think about being, if you've been on a road trip at all, even if you've been away from your family at all, you come back, you're like, oh, it's so good to see you. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. That next day, all you want to do is sit on the couch and flip through TV, watch game shows, you know, binge watch. You don't want to go back to work that very next day. When I was taking vacations in prior jobs, I would try to come back a little early or take that following Monday off. I try to bank a day, bank a holiday, work a holiday I didn't care about and have that full week and take that Monday off. So I had a short work week the next time because of this exact same thing. And that was coming back on Friday and having 2 days in the weekend. I couldn't even take 2 days from the weekend and go to work on Monday. I wanted to take that extra day off. And these guys come back from the road trip like a day later. It's like, boom, go play the Raptors. But anyway, that aside, the defense has been a problem. And I just, the Celtics have to find it in themselves to put forth a better effort. Not having Marcus Smart is a problem here, and not a problem because of his ability to defend individually. Marcus Smart's biggest impact on this team right now is how he organizes this team and how he directs people and how his energy raises the energy level and how he knows what the other team is doing before they're doing it and how he puts people in position to be at their best. All of that stuff is how the Celtics are missing Marcus Smart right now. And when I talked about Locked On Today, part of what I'm saying on Locked On Today is about, we don't know who these Celtics are yet. We look at it from a daily basis. We're on a grind Monday through Friday here on the podcast. You're watching games every day, and we're so caught up in the microscope, the microscopic view of the Celtics, and it's just pulling out. Yeah, we don't know who these guys are. But one thing that they have to be is more disciplined on defense. And okay, Marcus Smart is hurt. When Marcus Smart comes back, I do think that these guys have to have a little bit of a, I don't know, realization when they say, okay, if this is how we were without Marcus. And when Marcus comes back, you're like, wow, we're so much better. He just puts us in all these spots. How about this? How about you don't rely on one guy to do all of that stuff, because organizing yourself is something you can all do. Watching the film, studying, understanding the other team's tendencies, understanding who you have. When you see Kyle Lowry in front of you, when you see Fred VanVleet in front of you, or do you know how to guard him? Do you like that stuff? When you hear them call something out, do you know what they're doing? Have you heard that before? So that's where the Celtics need to improve, I think, the most. These guys have to put that defensive effort in. This game, if you look at the shot chart from this game, it looks like someone spilled a bowl of green Fruit Loops in the restricted area. Like, look at that little restricted. It's just a bunch of little green circles, little green makes, little green Fruit Loops all in the middle of that restricted area. By the way, Little Green Fruit Loops is a shout out to Twitter, Twitter's Chief Wakil, I hope I've pronounced that name right, who called that when I tweeted out the shot chart, Little Green Fruit Loops, and he kind of challenged me to use it on the podcast, and I loved it, so I used it there. So shout out to you, man. Appreciate that. Good call. But that's what the Celtics did. Tons of layups. They're lucky that Toronto missed a bunch. They're lucky that, well, not lucky, but it's great that they finally turned around in that fourth quarter and blocked some shots and prevented them. That two-minute stretch from basically the four-minute mark down to the two-minute mark where the Celtics blocked Tice blocked three shots and Jalen blocked one. That's where it went from a 7-point game. Really could have been a 5-point game at that point. And if it was five from 4 minutes to go, that would have been dangerous. You keep it at seven. You go down. You score another block shot. It became garbage time in a hurry. But effort on the defensive end. That's a problem. It needs to be fixed. Okay, up next, a few more notes. Just kind of a couple of other things. No Robert Williams in this game. He was hurt. A Romeo Langford update. I saw a little bit of Romeo on the floor. And we'll hear from Kemba Walker. I asked him about his finishing at the rim again. That's coming up next. Hey, Built Bars. Hey, I saw a couple people tweeting at me about their Built Bars. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. They've come out with actually their most delicious Built Bar yet. If you've tried their chocolate dough chunk Built Bar, they came out with this chocolate brownie chunk. They sent me a box of these. I had one today. I cannot understand how this thing's 150 calories and 15 grams of protein and just 7 grams of sugar. This thing is delicious. It really is a candy bar. I don't understand that, but it I don't know, blew my mind. That one blew my mind. Sweet, but gives you a good consistency. Anyway, it's a limited time flavor. You gotta get it today at BuiltBar.com because it's gonna be gone pretty quickly if you don't order it today. So go to BuiltBar.com. Make sure you're checking out all of their different flavors, but this one, the coconut brownie chunk is like legit. If you got a sweet tooth but you want to try to stay healthy, this is the one. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code Locked On. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Hey, and by the way, when they email you, tell them that the Locked On Celtics podcast, that you got it from the Locked On Celtics podcast, because they're going to say, hey, thanks. Email them back and say, hey, John Corrales from Locked On Celtics sold me on this. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. Try it. If you like it, buy another one. As often as you go back, try it again. You're going to get 20% off every time with the promo code Locked On at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Hey, make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NBA. I host the Wednesday show with Jake Madison. It's always a fun time. I love Jake. Jake's a good friend of mine. Became good friends because of the Locked On NBA show. Didn't know him before we started hosting. We've become good friends. This is a great show. I love doing it. On Fridays, it's Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers and Adam Mattes of Locked On Nuggets. It's fun. You're going to love Adam because he puts Anthony in his place. They're obviously going to talk about the biggest stories in the league, big game recaps, weekend previews, their power rankings. It's a fun show. They've got good chemistry on Fridays. Every day of the week on Locked On NBA is different, and each day is fun. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NBA. Make that part of your daily routine, just like you made Locked On Celtics part of your daily routine. Kemba Walker, obviously like the biggest topic in Celtics land right now. He's over the past few games, it's kind of nuts how his scoring breakdown has played out. 10 for 23 on three-pointers, 1 for 21 on twos. It almost is impossible to do that. In this game, Kemba, 5 of 12 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, which means 0 for 4 from 2. He was 6 of 6 from the line. Okay, nice night for Kemba. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. He did have 5 turnovers. A couple of them were not great, but whatever. So, the two-pointer thing. Some of them are just missed jumpers, okay? You're going to miss some jumpers. If you're going to make shots and miss other shots, I'd rather you make your threes and miss your twos. So, that in today's NBA is fine. Like, generally speaking, if you're going to miss a few mid-range shots, but you're going to make most of your threes, cool, sign me up. The stuff around the rim, is the concern, right? When we're talking about like yesterday or the day before, a couple days ago, if you didn't listen on Wednesday, I talked about Kemba panic level. Yesterday, I talked about what if Kemba's never the same. Okay, so I do believe Kemba is going to figure it out. But at the rim, what we have not seen, I've said it a couple times, we have not seen the quick jump. We have not seen Kemba drive by somebody. Well, okay. We have seen him drive by a lot of people. He's still getting by people. The problem is, once he gets by people, he's just doing the simple 1-2 step and trying to quickly throw up the layup, but that's allowing guys to time the blocks and they're blocking the shots. Kemba, one of the most beautiful things that he does, he drives right, I'm sorry if you're sick of hearing me saying it, drives right, jumps off his right foot. Instead of going right, left, jump like every right-handed layup, he jumps off his right foot and lays it up right-handed, and that just throws off the timing of the shot blocker. That's one of the classic moves a small guy makes when he's driving for a layup. You quick jump a guy. Or you stop as you're driving, you 2-foot jump backwards into a guy. You intentionally create that contact, but his momentum is coming towards you. So even though you initiate the contact, he's going through you. That's a foul. Kemba has done neither of those things in his time back. And so what he's hoping for is step right, step left, go up, slow down, take the contact, and draw the foul. But when you're both going in the same direction and you do get that contact, but you just kind of sort of, it looks like your momentum is carrying you this way. It looks like to an official, and frankly, I'm sitting there, I've got a similar angle to some of the officials when I'm at the games. It looks like you're just trying to fly in and you're off balance and then you land and you slide and it doesn't look like their contact made you fall. It looks like that your momentum made you fall. So I asked Kemba about these things and whether it was a knee thing or whether it is a knee thing or something else.
Hey, Kemba, when you've been getting to the rim, you still haven't been quick jumping guys. You haven't been doing the change of direction, jumping back into guys. Is that a function of your knee still bothering you, or is there a mental aspect?
Nothing. Just got to get back to it. This is my 11th game, I believe. I'm still just trying to, just find my rhythm. I went a long time without touching the basketball before I even started playing. So, I got to get back to that. I got to get back to that stuff, which I will, It takes time. I just got to let the game come to me a little bit. But nothing with my knee or anything like that.
He is adamant. It's not the knee. The knee isn't bothering him. Fine. I've just got to get back to it. Okay, so preaching patience with Kemba Walker. But really, honestly, at some point, you got to get back to that. Because now, each game that passes that you don't get back to that raises a little bit more suspicion. And I have been Mr. Patience about Kemba Walker. People are mad at me for being as patient as I've been with Kemba Walker. But here's my problem. This is how you play. This is your game. Doing those things is your game. So I am accepting of your knee hurt, and when you stopped and changed directions, it really hurt. So there's a psychological thing at play here. I accept that. I understand that. And so I am continuing to be patient about that. However, this is your game, Kemba. And if you can't get back to that because of a mental thing, then you got to find a way to get past that mental thing. And that's a matter of sports psychology and talking to somebody and finding a way through that. It's a mental hurdle. And trust me, I was never an NBA level player. I understand that. I know exactly where I was as a player. But I do know a lot about getting hurt, and I do know a ton about playing hurt. And I understand that there are mental hurdles to going out there and doing things that used to hurt and how it changes your game. I get that much. You got to find a way through that. And if the knee is a problem, then you got to find a different way. You can't do the things. You can't drive and do what you were doing. You got to change your game. You got to find a different way to attack. Okay? If your knee is not going to allow you to jump or a quick jump or whatever, then figure something else out. Maybe you start trying to finish on the other side. Maybe you pull out and take a baseline jumper. Maybe you do something else. But I am very much in the patience camp. But I'm also just squinting a little bit at, all right, let's start to see a little something once. Try the quick jump once. Just do something that you used to do once and try it. I don't care if it goes well or not. The result is not the issue. We're going to Kaizen this. Copyright Jam Packard. We're going to Kaizen this. Process over results. Couple other quick updates before I wrap up the show. Romeo Langford, there is no timeline necessarily, but Brad Stevens did say before the game, Romeo Langford will likely be available after the All-Star break. I got to the arena. As I walked into the arena, Romeo Langford was wrapping up a workout on the garden floor. And he was doing a couple of things, just trying to dribble past two guys and trying to get, it looked like he was getting some conditioning in. He looked okay. I mean, I can't make a determination on the 1 minute that I saw, but I can tell you that he's on the floor, he's dribbling, he's using his right hand. So he's getting back slowly from that wrist surgery. So hopefully he'll be back soon. Somebody tweeted me, who care? Like, why do we care so much about Romeo? Look, he's a big, switchable wing player who showed last season that he can be a good defender. He's the type of player that the Celtics kind of need. If you can't count on Aaron Nesmith, then Romeo Langford can be the guy that you throw out there and is big, can get in front of people, can contest shots, can slide and switch and guard multiple positions. And maybe if that wrist is okay, a couple of shots can fall. He can be potentially helpful. No Robert Williams in this game. His left hip is sore. That is concerning because last year he had that edema, basically a bone bruise-ish type of thing that held him out for a while. I don't know if it's the same thing. The Celtics didn't make it sound like it's the same thing. But left hip is concerning because that just could be a structural thing, a physiological thing. Like, hey, my knees suck. Kemba's left knee is a problem. Robert Williams has a left hip thing, and that's just going to be his thing. That's his body is built in a way that his left hip is going to be bothersome. Maybe it's just sore. I don't know. But when you hear left hip with Robert Williams, all right, okay. Keep an eye out for that. But Brad Stevens said they're going to be very, very, very cautious. That's the quote. Very, very, very cautious with Rob when it comes to that. We'll see if he plays against Detroit. We'll see what the long-term prognosis is there. That's the show. There will be no post-Detroit podcast. I'm going to be back on Sunday evening posting a podcast post-game Sunday. The Celtics play at 1 at Washington. And so I will be doing a post-game for that, and I will cover the Detroit game. Hopefully there's nothing notable there. Hopefully the Celtics cruise through that, so there's not much to talk about. But I will cover that in the Monday podcast. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, so subscribe if you have not subscribed. Also subscribe to the Boston Sports Journal. I am officially, as of Friday, my first day on the job is actually Sunday, covering that game. But I am the new Boston Sports Journal Celtics beat reporter. So go to Boston Sports Journal, subscribe, use the promo code Corrales, my last name, and you're going to get a discount, $5 off. That works out to be less than $3 a month for Celtics coverage. I hope that you can afford it. It would really mean a lot to me. I'm looking forward to doing a lot of in-depth stuff and a lot more interactive stuff. The mailbag will be coming back. That might include like some Q&A on the site. So subscribe to Boston Sports Journal as well as Locked On Celtics. Locked On Celtics remains free, remains daily, Monday through Friday. It is unaffected by where I work, where my writing exists. So Locked On Celtics is free, will remain free. I am never going to charge you anything for Locked On Celtics. All I ask for you as payment for me for Locked On Celtics is a good written review, a 5-star rating, and sharing the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.